Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled, and to us as well. This will happen when Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might on the day that he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Thank you. Thanks for having me and my family here. We're very grateful to be here. And I'm actually excited to spend time with you in God's Word this morning. So I grew up in a single-parent household. It was me, my brother Anthony, and my mum. My dad passed away shortly after Anthony was born. And mum was finding it hard to raise two kids by herself. You know, she didn't have a job at the time. She was barely able to speak and understand English. She was struggling. She had a really hard time. But I did notice my aunties in Vietnam would call mum most days of the week, you know, to check up on her, to see how she's going. And they would chat for hours. And I remember there would be times where, you know, mum, she would cry because times were tough. But there were times where she laughed as well because, you know, this recalling the old days and just having a laugh. Those phone calls were precious to her. Those phone calls were comforting. It was encouraging. It kept mum going even though it was tough. And that's a bit like what's going on here in our passage today. Our passage today comes from the second letter to the Thessalonians. It's written by a guy named Paul. He's writing it to the church in Thessalonica, the Thessalonians. We see that in verse 1. And Paul wrote this almost 20 years after Jesus died and resurrected. And that was almost 2,000 years ago. Like my auntie's comforting and encouraging mum to keep going here in Australia, Paul wrote this letter with a purpose, to encourage and to comfort the Thessalonians to keep following Jesus, especially in their suffering for the gospel. You know, Paul and the Thessalonians followed Jesus. They believed the gospel, the good news that Jesus died and resurrected to rescue them from everlasting death for everlasting life. They've been gripped by the gospel and they're committed to following Jesus with their whole lives, even if it meant being persecuted, even if it meant being beaten and thrown in jail for following Jesus. And ever since they've decided to follow Jesus, the persecution's been non-stop. It hasn't stopped. And persecution sucks, right? It hurts. It's painful. But suffering for the gospel is expected when we follow Jesus. Jesus tells us that. We see that in Paul's life. I mean, we can see that among other lives as well, the lives that we share with other Christians. But there's only so much persecution one can take unless God helps us. And that's where this letter comes in. Paul comforts and encourages the Thessalonians that God is at work, that God is there with them. Even in their suffering for the gospel, God has not left them. So today we're going to spend some time looking at the first part of this letter. Here in chapter 1, we're going to see three things. We're going to see that even in suffering, firstly, God has been at work. Secondly, we're going to see that God will set things right because God is just. And the third thing we'll see is that even in suffering, God continues to work to the day Jesus returns. So keep your Bibles open and come with me to verse 3. We're going to see in the first part of this letter that even in the Thessalonians suffering for the gospel, God has been at work. Paul says that the Thessalonians are trusting God more and more, and that their love for one another is growing more and more. And the only reason that's happening is because God has been at work. And have a look with me in verse 3. Paul says, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing." The point of persecution is to break someone down, right? But here we see the opposite happening. We see the Thessalonians built up. That's a paradox. Instead of the Thessalonians breaking down and giving up trusting God, they're growing in love and trusting God more and more. The only reason there's growth in suffering for the gospel is because God has been at work. God's not only growing his children when things are going well, but he grows them in faith and love when things aren't going well too. He grows them when they're suffering for the gospel. God has been at work in his children's life. He hasn't abandoned them. He's always been there. He hears their cries when they're suffering, and he sees them suffering. And he's working, he's growing his children to trust him and to love each other more so that they can persevere when suffering for the gospel comes. Isn't that good? It's so good that God doesn't abandon his children when they're suffering. This is so comforting and encouraging to know that God has been at work. In fact, this is so good. It's comforting and encouraging that it needs to be shared with others who are suffering as well. That's what we see in verse 4. Paul goes on to say, "Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring." Paul's boasting in God about the work that God is doing in the Thessalonians. That's got to be shared with all the other churches to remind them that God is always there. He's been at work. This is the same God who is still at work today. He's the same God who grows his children to love each other and to trust him more and more. He's been at work in us. In fact, he's been at work in you. Now, I'm fully aware that we don't experience the same level of persecution and suffering for the gospel like our brothers and sisters here in Thessalonica. You know, the fact that we can meet together like this today and talk about Jesus, or we can go to a cafe and open up our Bibles and read with each other and not have to worry about being beaten or getting arrested, it just shows how good we have it here today. But that doesn't mean we don't experience suffering for the gospel. I'm sure some of us have experienced some kind of persecution or suffering to some level. Perhaps you've been mocked to your face for being a Christian. Perhaps you've been mocked online. Perhaps some of your relationships have suffered, those close relationships you've had with family or friends because you started following Jesus. Perhaps the workplace treats you a bit differently because you're Christian. Whatever it may be, suffering for the gospel is still real. And I want to say, if you are being persecuted, if you are suffering for the gospel right now, I want you to know that God knows. I want you to know that He understands what you're going through. He sees your suffering. He hasn't abandoned you. In fact, He's working to grow you so that you can go through this, that you can get through this suffering. Whether or not you are suffering for the gospel, God is always at work. He has been at work in your life. And it's worth taking a moment to reflect how He's been at work in your life this past year. How has He grown you to trust Him more and more this year? Are there areas in your life where you have noticed this? Is there someone at church that you've learned to love like Jesus loves you? If you realize there is growth there, isn't it great that God has been at work, that He hasn't left you? That God has been at work even in our suffering. But God won't let suffering for the gospel go on forever, because the next part of this letter shows that God will set all things right, which brings us to the second point in this letter, and we see that God is just. He will set all things right. God will not let His children suffer for the gospel forever. He'll put an end to it once for all. On the other hand, those who've been persecuting God's people, they'll be punished. And all of this will happen when Jesus returns. We see this in verses 6 to 7. Have a listen to what Paul says here. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with His powerful angels. Imagine the relief the Thessalonians would have felt hearing that. When Jesus returns, there'll be relief from their suffering. And it's not temporary relief, it's everlasting relief. Have you ever had a tough time at work? You know, one of those times where it's just a slog, but you know you've got that annual leave booked in, you know that holiday is coming up, and you look forward to it? I don't know if you have, but I certainly have. When I was working as a physio, there were times where it was so tough, but I know I've got that holiday booked in and I'm looking forward to it. And just knowing that holiday is booked in and imagining all the things that I could be doing, it just made work a bit more bearable, even if it was bad. Have you ever had those moments? Having that hope just gives us the extra push we need at work. And it's the same idea here. We can persevere because there'll be relief from suffering forever when Jesus returns. God is a just God. He'll give this relief to those who believe the gospel. It is so good. But God being a just God, that's a sobering reality as well. Because the consequence of rejecting the gospel is devastating. It's everlasting death. Have a look at what Paul says in verses 8 to 10. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might on the day He comes to be glorified in His holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. Being separated from God forever is devastating. It's death for eternity. We just heard that. But this was the reality for us at one point, wasn't it? You know, we were separated from God because of our sin. We rejected God. And rejecting God means rejecting everlasting life, and that would mean walking towards everlasting death. And there was nothing that we could possibly do to even save ourselves from that situation. That's the bad news. But the gospel, the good news of what Jesus has done, the gospel is that Jesus has rescued us from everlasting death. He's rescued us for everlasting life with him. He was punished in our place for our sin so that we don't have to be punished anymore. And he resurrected so that we can have everlasting life with him. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And believing in this gospel means that we can have everlasting life with God, that we can have everlasting glory with him. We see that in verse 10. Paul says, this includes you because you believed our testimony to you. If the Thessalonians believe in the gospel, and here in verse 10 they do, then when Jesus returns, they'll share in his glory and have everlasting life with him. And that truth is still the same for us today. The gospel still stands true for us. If you're here today and you're exploring Christianity and you're looking into who Jesus is, I want to say I'm really glad that you're here. I know Trinity Church Morford Vale are happy to have you here as well. And if after hearing all this, you trust what Jesus has done for you, that's great. And please let someone know. If you came here with someone today, let them know. If you came by yourself, let any of us know. I'm sure we'd love to have a chat with you and talk more about Jesus with you. If you're not quite sure about the gospel or you do have some questions about Jesus, please come chat to us. I'm sure we'd love to help you get to know Jesus more. For those of us who believe the gospel, our great hope is when Jesus returns. And when he returns, there'll be relief from suffering for the gospel. It's better than that holiday you've got booked in. It's everlasting life and relief from suffering, and it's with God. God is just. He will set all things right. He will give you relief. We can trust him for that. You can trust him on that, and you can depend on him. And knowing that, it's worth persevering till Jesus returns to give you relief. And with all that in mind, it brings us to the third point in this letter, and it's that we see God continues to be at work in the Thessalonians' lives to the day that Jesus returns. Well, we know that God has been growing them in faith and love, even in suffering. We saw that in the first part of this letter. But now we see that God will keep on working. He will continue to work to the day that Jesus returns. He will help them to keep following Jesus. He'll help them to desire what is good. And he'll help them to bear fruit in their work that comes from faith. Have a look with me in verse 11. Paul says, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. Notice how Paul doesn't say, try harder to have good thoughts, or he doesn't say, try and work harder so that you can be worthy of God's calling. He doesn't say that. He doesn't tell the Thessalonians to try harder. He says, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you. He prays that God will do these things because at the end of the day, it's God who's at work in making these things happen. It's all according to God's grace. Paul says that in verse 12. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, God will never abandon his children. He's with the Thessalonians as they're suffering, and he's with us today, even in our suffering for the gospel. And knowing that God continues to be at work and making these things happen to the day that Jesus returns, we can approach him confidently, and we can confidently pray these things. These prayers are for us to pray too. It's what God is doing. We get to pray that God will make us worthy. We get to ask God to help us to keep following Jesus even when times are tough. And why wouldn't he do that if that's his calling for us to keep following Jesus? And we get to pray that God will help us desire what's good as well. We want to ask God to help us desire what he desires. We want the good things to show that we're followers of Jesus. I don't know if you've had those moments before where you wanted to do something good, but there was just something that held you back from doing that. You know, have you had those moments where you wanted to forgive someone, but you were held back by bitterness? Have you had those moments where you wanted to be loving, to be kind, to be gentle, but you were held back by anger? You were held back by resentment? Have you had those moments where you wanted to talk about Jesus, but you were held back by fear of rejection, fear of judgment, or even fear of persecution? Have you had those sorts of moments before? We all want to desire what God desires because it honors him, it glorifies him, but we're also held back by other unhelpful desires as well. And Paul gets this, he totally gets it, he can relate to us. That's why he doesn't say, try harder. Instead, he prays. He trusts God and his power. He depends on God, who continues to be at work in growing them to be more like Jesus, to be worthy of that calling. It's as if Paul was praying, God, you see our hearts. You see what we want to do, and you see what holds us back. But God, please, by your power, please help us to resist those things that hold us back. And please, bring to life the desires for good. And this is the prayer to pray for when we feel weak and we need God's strength. And especially more so when suffering for the gospel comes. Well, we can have confidence that God hears our prayers because of what Jesus has done. He has done a very good thing. And we get to pray to God constantly, like Paul does, whenever, wherever. God will always hear our prayers. And why wouldn't he be working in us if we asked for his help? We can have confidence that God will continue to work in us till the day that Jesus returns, even in our suffering. Friends, our God is always there with us. He's always been there. He's never left us, and he never will. He is there with us, and he'll keep working to the day that Jesus returns. I'd love to pray for all of us. Yeah, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what Jesus has done. We thank you for the gospel that gives us everlasting life. And we thank you that you have given us a great hope that Jesus will return and give us relief. We thank you that you are just, And we thank you that you have always been there, growing us to persevere in faith when suffering from the gospel comes. We pray that you'll continue to be at work and helping us stand firm in the faith to the day that Jesus returns. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.